The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
I'm confident in this group. We take them one at a time. Certainly have a big challenge in front of us at New York this week and against a Hall of Fame quarterback and a really good defense. So we just got to stay focused, taking it one day at a time and one game at a time here.
Mike Danger.
They got to beat the Jets with an interim head coach, right? I mean, Monday night, we're laughing, right? If they lose to the Jets, we're having a different conversation this time next week. I have a hard time seeing them losing to the Jets and an interim head coach, as it's a mess. The Jets are just going to jet. That's what they do.
Gene Battaglia.
I'm just not convinced the Bills are going to figure all this out on offense. That's also part of this, too. Put it this way. What makes you think that Josh Allen all of a sudden is going to, all right, it's the Jets. This is the team that has his number, the Jets.
Pretty special today. Let's go, Mets.
95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Happy hour in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We're glad you're along for the ride. Appreciate you listening, however you may be doing so. We're at 95.7 FM, AM 950. The free-to-download Odyssey app where we're sounding our best. You can get us on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. We're even streaming the show on our YouTube channel, at The Fan Rochester, streaming on Twitch as well, at The Fan Rochester. And me being a good friend, I'm trying to find a way to cast this Mets game in our studio here. We were able to the other day. And let me, Gene, bear with me. You're right. This is live radio.
This is
the magic of live radio. We want Gene's natural and live reaction. This is what they do kind of on BetMGM tonight, right, with Horvat and with Money Evans. Yeah. I mean, like, they really, like...
Horvat. Ryan Horvat. Yeah.
They react in real time to their plays, and you don't have any action in this game, but I do. In fact, I'm such a good friend, I decided I would take Phillies on the money line here just to ensure that the Mets get a win for you today, Gino.
How much money do you win tonight?
Double what I put in, because I got the Phillies at plus money.
If you win money at my expense, my fandom expense, Mike Danger, how does that make you a good friend?
I'm a good friend because I get kicked in the teeth when I bet on baseball. So me taking, trust me when I say, me taking the Phillies, that has to ensure that you're getting a Mets win. There we go.
Now we're in good shape.
Gene's there. We're happy. We're at Citi Field. Verducci's delivering his pregame report. We're ready for game four.
Here's the fun fact. Citi Field opened in 2009. They've never clinched anything there.
No parties, no celebrations.
Nothing. Now, you know what the Mets like to do. Like every baseball
team. Wear grimace costumes to the ballpark.
Yeah, like a party. Like, is there going to be a party in San Diego tonight? Of course. It's baseball if they win.
Yeah. Well, we switched away from the Tigers-Guardians matchup. I believe it was 3-0, I believe, Tigers up in that one. That's nearing its conclusion. And the Tigers look to take a 2-1 series lead there as well.
Yeah. We have time for your calls. It's happy hour, 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Wow. James Cook got hurt? Curtis Samuel not available? Apparently the Samuel thing goes back. Danger, is this just a narrative that's being fed to us just to explain why he hasn't been a part of this offense at all?
Sean McDermott on the Buffalo Bills injury update.
So Taylor Rapp has cleared concussion protocol. Ed Oliver will not practice today. Shakir will not practice. James Cook will not practice. Curtis Samuel will not practice. All three of those will take it one day at a time here. And then Taron Johnson and Austin Johnson both will be limited today. And then Darrington Evans will return to practice in the IR category. Yes. Yeah. So there, we'll see where it goes. We'll know a little bit more coming off of today and into tomorrow.
What is the injury on James?
James is a foot toe injury. I believe around the same thing, ironically enough. So yeah.
If you're dealing with two players, Samuel and Cook, both dealing with turf toe, bad news.
That's really bad news.
If it is turf toe, I mean, they're vague and we don't know. But if you assume the worst, turf toe is going to be nagging and lingering. And for either of those guys that have that cutting ability, that speed, that's tough.
I want to know more about the Shakira injury. Is that a high ankle? Is it a normal ankle sprain?
I'm fairly certain that's a high ankle, right?
Right. And if it's a high ankle, I mean, they obviously didn't put him on IR, and it might be too late to kind of do that. But I will contend that in a year, we haven't had a year like this, right? Since we've been doing the show, at least. We have all these injuries all in front of you. Well, Milano to Dorian Williams, or, you know, Terrell Bernard to Baylen Spector. They're not as great, though, that gap as between Khalil Shakir and whatever else there. Not having Khalil Shakir has been a big, big problem. And if you're this new head coach, well, I'm sure he's going to put his fingerprints all over on the Jet defense. You're just kind of ignoring here whatever the Bills put on the outside at wide receiver without Khalil Shakir this week.
I mean, do you think Sauce Gardner is going to have a tough time? I don't see Sauce Gardner having any issue.
Exactly Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison they're dealing with here.
Absolutely not. So, rough news there from the injury report there from Sean McDermott before today's practice.
It's rough, too, because the plan B here would always be, all right, this doesn't look like the passing attack. Just run the ball. And can they do that with Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, Danger? Is that going to be the plan? Read option with Josh Allen? Are we like I'm not being cheeky. I mean,
I would like to see Joe Brady, Josh Allen, and this offense play to the strengths. And if you look at what they've been through 5 weeks of this season, where they've had success as an offense happens between the numbers, not on the outside of the numbers, not on the perimeter, between the numbers. And yeah, that bodes well for the running game, and you've gotten a good push. The offensive line, with the exception of that hamstring injury that, you know, kind of is might be lingering there for Deion Dawkins, we may never know about that, but they've done a pretty good job, and they've been able to run the football. I mean, how many of us were watching the end of that Houston game just saying, why aren't you running the ball? You just run the ball. You've done a good job running the ball. Run the ball. It's between the numbers. That's where I want to see the Bills offense take things against the Jets. And I know that the Jets are problematic on defense. We're going to hear a lot about that. But the plays that are happening outside of the numbers, they feel high risk. They feel low percentage. And it just doesn't feel like the right decision. If you really want to be efficient offensively, I think for the Bills, it's got to happen between those numbers.
Well, what happens between the numbers, what are you describing? Play action. Is that a part of this offense? I would think that would be where you would start. Establish just some sort of running game, if that ends up being Ray Davis and Ty Johnson this week. But, gosh, if you have Josh Allen, just that split half second. In an offensive line, Danger, can we just be honest? Well, they started out really great, and we're doing all the blame assessment. It was not a good game for Spencer Brown. Osiren Torrence hasn't had a great season to date. I mean, you need to give the offensive line a little bit of help here.
Yeah, the pocket the last couple of weeks has not been what we saw out of the first three. I mean, Josh Allen didn't take a hit the first 3 weeks of the season, right? They protected him really well. That pocket has been a little bit more of a struggle here the last couple of weeks, and you hope that can get corrected here as well. I just think you got to get the ball out quickly if you're Josh Allen. And again, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. We talked to Perino yesterday about Dawson Knox. I mean, you've invested in this two tight end formation. You want to run this 12 personnel. Utilize your tight ends, and you know, maybe defenses are taking that away from Josh Allen and forcing him to throw it outside. It's just the wrong decision. It feels like almost every time he throws to the boundary, it's an incomplete pass. It's a harder pass to complete. It's a lower percentage play, and it hurts the efficiency of this offense that was so great for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think that even with all that being said, this isn't Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. It's not C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, by the way. By the way, Nico Collins going on IR today.
Tough.
So that is tough with that hamstring. It's old man Aaron Rodgers. So can the Bills just win ugly here? Can they eke out a 13-10 win? And the answer to that is, well, are we feeling good about special teams? Are we feeling good about all the things that we were feeling good about? All the good vibes have disappeared here.
I know that a win is a win, and if you win ugly, you don't have to apologize for that. But I also know that good teams beat up and bully bad teams. They do what they're supposed to do against bad teams. And would we consider the Jets, who just fired their head coach to be a bad team. I consider them to be a bad team. I would love not for the Bills to win by a field goal. I would love for them to blow the Jets out. I would love for them to play the Jets the way they did in the middle of the season last year, not at the beginning of the season last year. And I think a lot of us, because we see the team going to the Meadowlands, because that defense has been a struggle for Josh Allen to figure out in the past, I think we worry that it's going to be close, but it shouldn't be. The Bills should bully the Jets.
Well, I think the Jets aren't a bad team. They're an underachieving team, and hence the coaching change. You look at the talent, and yes, you could say that's McDermott, McLeod, the fact that, well, they've got first-rounders. They do have talent on the defensive side of the ball. They do. And they have, especially when, you could say maybe exclusively when they play at MetLife, that's when the Jets always seem to play Josh Allen tough. So from that standpoint, that's what made you yesterday unique. That felt like an NHL fire. That felt like what the Sabres, quite frankly, should have done in December. Like, hey, this is not working. Let's get somebody else in there. Aaron Rodgers today going on McAfee, by the way, saying, how dare anybody suggest that I had anything to do with this?
All right. We did it earlier, but do we want to repeat this? Because this is Aaron Rodgers giving us a good 3 minutes. What I love about this is Rodgers doesn't speak to any of the reasoning that the football coach was fired, but rather just talks about the struggle of this industry. This business is a tough business, and you can't just think about the coach. You got to go deeper, man. You got to think about the kids. One of the kids who I'm friends with, we play catch, and I'm tight with Robert Sell.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a misdirection. When we did the McDermott meter on him, I put the over-under at 18. Now, I know the result here. Is he going to go over or under 18 lies in how long is the cotton hair danger?
It's about 3 minutes.
Aaron Rodgers yapping for 3 minutes.
On Pat McAfee earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was a day that reminds you of the simple fact that all of us who played know all too well, and that's that it's a tough business. It's a beautiful profession. It's incredible. It's done so much for our lives, but it's also a really tough business. I love Coach Sala. We have a very solid relationship. We have since, I met him in 2021 and had a nice conversation when they came and visited us for joint practices. He was a big reason why I came to the Jets. You know, I felt like the team, you know, was a solid team. Had a relationship with Coach Hackett, obviously. And I really liked Coach Sala. Everything that Matt LaFleur said about him, the few interactions I've had, the times that we went against him, I just had a lot of respect for him. And so, it was just a reminder yesterday how tough the business is. I think what people can forget in this is not only is Robert a fantastic human being and a damn good football coach, he's also a family man. He's got 7 kids. He's got an incredible wife. And the business of football can be hard, not just on those of us who are playing and coaching and doing personnel things and ownership, obviously, but it's tough on the families. And I've got to know Robert's family over the last couple of years, and especially one of his kids, Adam. Adam's my little throwing buddy from training camp. Love Adam. He's an incredible, incredible kid. And so I'm thinking there's obviously a lot of emotions, but you think about the family and the kids as much as, the people that you love, your own family, who is the coaching staff and the players and what they're all going through. So, anybody who's kind of championing this decision, I would just appeal to the humanity of the situation and remind you there's other people involved. And Adam has to go to school today. Possibly or this week. And hopefully there's no, kids with poor parents who are making snide side comments to him. It's just a reminder. There's a lot of things involved in this. As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it. And that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was, one of those days yesterday.
19. Yeah, he rallied at the end there.
Yeah, that was a big, big turnaround.
By the way, how does anybody else see the irony of this guy commenting on the humanity and the family element of, from a guy who's estranged from his family, family? A guy who doesn't acknowledge his family? A guy who doesn't give a rat's ass about his family? This guy is too much, man.
He gets paid for that appearance. And there's no follow-up.
Oh, there's no pushback. There's no there won't be any pushback.
The obvious question should have been, Danger, hey, okay, if you felt this way about Robert Sala, then why are you contradicting him at the podium talking about the cadence and other things? Why are you staring him down on the sideline? Why are you doing things that makes it look like you're not aligned?
Pushing him off for the man hug, the whole thing. I mean, like, just the notion that this guy is going to talk about family and how this affects family. And what does it mean to your family that you've been estranged from your family, that you kind of cut them out of your life? The guy is an unbelievable hypocrite. And if anything, the paid appearance now for Aaron Rodgers is nothing more than propaganda for Aaron Rodgers. He's paying to try and boost his own personality, his own brand at this point.
Got a complaint off the air, and I said, hey, you got to bring this on air. Scott, welcome to the Sports Bar. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So I just was wondering, like, please don't ever play that beeping sound ever again. I'm like, what is happening? Is somebody forget to turn off their ringer here? Secondly, what is against Aaron Rodgers on the field? I know he's a little bit confident, but he's a phenomenal quarterback. Are we jealous of Aaron Rodgers, or do you think he's really a cancer to every team that he's played on?
Okay, so I a couple things. One, if you're new to the show, from time to time, we'll do a feature called McDermott McLies. And when somebody tells a lie, we'll hit you with this.
I love Robert Sala. You don't love Robert
Sala. He's lying through a lot of what he's saying there, and we counted 19 in that three-minute clip. I'm not jealous of Aaron Rodgers. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's obviously, you know, very accomplished in the NFL. Of anybody who should hate Aaron Rodgers, I should hate Aaron Rodgers for all the times that he ripped my heart out as a Green Bay Packer being a Bears guy. I don't. I have to still respect him. But that being said, you can still view the guy through the lens of maybe he is a cancer to the teams that he's involved in. We didn't see it end well in Green Bay. There was a lot of talk and a lot of back and forth between he and management of the Packers. He kind of, in a way, forced himself out of that situation into the current situation he's in. And I can't say with certainty that through 5 weeks this season, he's been a great quarterback. He had a nice game against the Patriots, but he's struggling to build chemistry with Garrett Wilson. You haven't really seen him make the right decisions or the right throws when you need him to. I don't know that he's got anything left in the tank at 40 years old. He feels like he's beaten down and broken down. That's Aaron Rodgers in 2024, in my opinion.
Does he have the tools necessary to be able to be successful in New York? I know they're pretty overrated. Their offensive line has been like Swiss cheese.
I think that's the thing that's hurting him the most. I think the thing that hurts him the most with the Jets, and the thing that he had when he was in Green Bay for the majority of his time there, was protection. He had a good offensive line in Green Bay. He had a solid run game, and you don't really have that with the Jets. I know they're trying to make it better. They tried to get him that support, but it doesn't feel like, at least through 5 weeks, that they've got that thing worked out yet.
Well, I appreciate the time. I'm a Cowboys fan, so he's broken my heart numerous times in the playoffs as well. But I appreciate it. But that noise, you got to come up with a different noise.
Oh, that man. That's going to be a tough one for us to call an audible on. I mean,
yeah. Look, that was just because there were so many of them.
It was a lot.
There was a lot. It was just rich. I mean, that was funny. And Scott, thank you for playing along. But
appreciate you, Scott.
Here's the news flash, everyone. Here's a memo. We welcome your calls at 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Unlike some shows that have budgets, we don't have a call screener. You're going to get me. You get me. Yeah. So Scott calls up. Hey, can you tell those guys you're talking to?
We're the guys.
We're the guys.
Yeah. No producer, no screener, just us. We're just two guys, West Siders in Rochester, New York, talking sports.
Like, it would be easy not to take calls. Like, Danger and I can easily do a three-hour show not taking calls.
And there are many afternoons where we do just that. Yeah. If you have something and you want to add to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you at 866-4326. That's 866-4FAN. But we also won't give up the phone lines or let people call into the show and take it in a completely different direction. Like, we're having a conversation about the Bills and somebody wants to call up and talk about the Cleveland Browns. Chances are we're not going to let that call.
No, and it was a learning curve here. All right, here's the example. Would I be paying attention to the show? I look up, like, wait a second, they got Harper out. Oh, my gosh, they already up to Alonzo with runners on base? Danger, you have to tip your cap to me. I am fully invested in the show today, and I am being rewarded by seeing Pete Alonzo up the plate with runners.
Watch what happens if Alonzo, you know, drives in a couple runs here. Let's see how distracted you are then. Let's see if we can get a natural live reaction from Gene Battaglia if the Mets take an early lead here in the first against Ranger Suarez and the Phillies.
Come on, just work counts. Just kind.
See? You see?
Yeah, palms are all sweaty here.
There he is. You know what? Let's do this. Let's take a break so you can enjoy this at-bat, Chino, and come back with a round of shots next.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the things here. We'll set you up with, hey, Yankee fans, big game tonight, biggest of the year. We will set you up for that. We've got the Guardians and Tigers in progress right now. Talking about the Jets, they lost one of their all-time greats today. We've got LeBron complaining here, too, and then the Jim Trotter story.
Ah.
We have a conclusion. Remember, he sued the NFL.
Yes, I'm going to sue the NFL. I'm going to sue Roger Goodell. I'm going to sue Bill Belichick and John Gruden and everybody. I'm suing everybody.
What happened? Why are you suing?
Well, they said very mean things to me. They didn't answer the question. It was at the press conference. My glasses fell off, and Roger Goodell stepped on my glasses, broke my glasses. Now I can't see, damn it.
Well, we'll give you an update.
Bill Belichick threw me down the stairs. And I fell on my ass pipe.
We'll get to a round of shots next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester. The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
It's not a good practice report for the Buffalo Bills today. Not on the field once again, Khalil Shakir and Ed Oliver, but now added to the list, James Cook and Curtis Samuel. Both Cook and Samuel with similar toe/foot issues. On the positive side, Taylor Rapp clearing concussion protocol. He was back out there. Taron Johnson was limited today. Sean McDermott on the What's Ahead.
I'm confident in this group. We take them one at a time. Certainly have a big challenge in front of us at New York this week and against a Hall of Fame quarterback and a really good defense. So we just got to stay focused, taking it one day at a time and one game at a time here.
On the Major League scoreboard, top of the seventh, Tigers leading the Guardians 3-0. That series tied at one game each. The Mets looking to close out the Phillies. They go to the second, no score. New York had the bases loaded in the bottom of the first, came away with nothing. Gene Battaglia, The Fan Rochester.
If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. 95.7 FM, The Fan, Rochester.
Time for a round of shots. Happy Hour continues in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Talk about a drought. October 5th, 2014. That was the last time the Detroit Tigers hosted a playoff game. That was before today. It was a game three against Baltimore.
Can I say, watching that game earlier, what a treat to be at that game. If you were at that game today, because it looked like it was a beautiful
sunny
October afternoon at a place that hasn't had the opportunity to do this very often. I thought that was great for Detroit.
I've never been to Comerica, the new part, but it's not even new. What is it, 2010? It looks nice. I don't know if they would make a park like that again, though, where you're kind of like there are a few stands there, but there really aren't that many luxury boxes.
I mean, that's a bucket list thing, right? Yeah. If you had the means and you were able to visit every major league park, if you had the time and the means, you would do that, right?
Yeah,
that would be
absolutely
unbelievable. Yeah. I hear good things about it. I also hear PNC in Pittsburgh is like the park, like one of the nicest parks in all of Major League Baseball.
That being said, though, whenever you get time and money and family, so it's the 2010 Frozen Four. RIT is in Detroit. I'm like, oh yes, I and I'm stupid me, RIT is going to win tonight. Then I'm going to go opening day to the Tigers the next day. And then I'm going to, well, they didn't win. RIT lost to Wisconsin. Then I'm thinking, well, do I want to stay for the next day? And I'm like, no, I need to get the heck out of here. I just get home at that point. So, yeah, I had a chance to check it out. And you know what? I didn't.
Yeah, it's one of those cities that I've never visited. I mean, been through the airport a bunch of times, obviously, but never. And friends that are there, I view it as maybe like a bigger version of Rochester, in that there's a lot of friends that I have that are in Detroit, and they're from Rochester, or they've just kind of settled there, knowing that, yeah, this is a pretty decent place. If you're in the suburbs, if you're outside of the city proper.
I can't comment. So, again, it's been like 15, 14 years. But when I went there 14 years ago, in the big building, the Renaissance Center, they were specifically, and you're like, oh, yeah, it might be a half hour walk. They were like, nope, do not walk over to Ford Field. You are taking the shuttle. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Greektown. You could have walked through
okay.
there.
All right.
7:08 tonight for the Yankees and Royals. Clark Schmidt going against Seth Lugo on TBS Max. If you were with us earlier today, you heard our baseball expert Jim Riley from the Barreled Up podcast say, maybe the Yankees should have gone with Luis Gil. We'll figure out who was right on this. The LA Dodgers facing elimination today, and we still don't know who's starting tonight, Danger. I could check this again here. Dylan Cease starting for the Padres, 9:08 on FS1.
Okay. I mean, we have been absolutely spoiled up to this point with the Major League Baseball postseason. I hope it continues tonight. We get some competitive and entertaining games.
We've got five games tonight in the NHL. The defending Western Conference champion Edmonton Oilers open at home against Winnipeg. The doubleheader on TNT and Max tonight has the Rangers at Penguins, 7:30, followed by Colorado and Vegas. By the way, the Sabres home opener is tomorrow night against the LA Kings.
It doesn't feel right just yet. Like last night, I'm like, I should stay up, watch the Hawks. They're in Utah. Now, they're in Utah. I'm like, they're going to lose.
Well, that's also kind of weird, too. Like, where are you?
Yeah, they're in Utah, and I'm like, they're going to lose because it's Utah's first game, and it's going to be rowdy, and there's no way the Blackhawks have enough talent to live up to that. So I didn't make it. It still doesn't feel right. Although I will say tonight, Rangers at Penguins, it's a pretty compelling matchup, and I kind of like Pittsburgh at home, even though the Rangers are the defending President's Trophy champ. Like, give me the Penguins early. I think, like, if the Penguins are going to be anything in Pittsburgh, it's going to be early this season before the grind catches up to some of the age and the talent of that roster.
It's a tough start for hockey. I mean, if you are a New York sports fan, you're not watching that tonight. You're watching the end of the Mets if you're a Met fan, and then you got the Yankees at 7 o'clock, and you'll just look at your phone like, oh, hey, what are the Rangers doing here tonight?
Yeah.
What is the best nickname ever for a defensive line in NFL history? May I submit, Mike Danger, the New York Sack Exchange.
It's great. Love them.
Mark Gastineau, Joe Klecko, Marty Lyons, Abdul Salam. Abdul Salam passed today. This, according to his wife, he was battling multiple health issues. Abdul Salam was 71. By the way, Gastineau, Klecko, and Lyons, they're still with us.
Yeah, I guess I didn't. I mean, Klecko and Gastineau were the ones that I remember. I didn't remember Lyons and Salam. And Gastineau, I remember, for the crazy sack dance every time. And Klecko was just nails on that defensive line. The idea that those guys are in their late 60s, early 70s, that's a tough pill for me to swallow. Yeah. I mean, it feels like just yesterday we were watching them play.
Yeah, and you get the idea that Gastineau in his later years isn't doing so well. LeBron James.
Well, hold on a second. You mean former NFL football players are struggling with their health as they... As they age increases, what? If only somebody would do something about it. But by the way, Josh Allen not concussed on Sunday. Not related. I'm just going to throw that out. Not concussed.
No, he's not in the protocol because he's not concussed.
Oh, okay.
There was no.
I was just making sure it wasn't his. That wasn't his head that bounced violently off the turf where he was laid kind of motionless for a while. All right, Gino.
Matt Quintana getting out of the jam in the second jam. It was only a runner on first. They go to the bottom of the second in New York. No score, Phillies and Mets. LeBron James is not happy, Mike Danger.
Oh, no. What are we going to do? Maybe we should appreciate him a little bit more. Will that make him happy?
complaining on social media, quote, "Can someone please explain to me why we're getting on a plane emoji and heading to Milwaukee for one preseason game?"
This is how you know LeBron James is old. He's like you and I. He's going on extra bitch about things now. He's an old guy.
He's an old guy. Bitching about travel. Well, LeBron, for starters, your arena isn't available, okay? So that's problem number one. All six preseason games for the Lakers have to be on the road. I didn't know it violated NBA rules, by the way, to play a preseason game outside your time zone.
Yeah, this is now this is old man yelling at clouds territory for LeBron James. That's where he's at this stage of life. I'm just going to complain. I'm going to go to X and complain about the next thing you know, he's going to complain about taxes in Los Angeles. He's, you know, he's going to just become one of us. He's morphing into old guy on Twitter.
He's going to be angry sports parent right before our eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my kid isn't getting enough playing time.
That's
what does
right.
his coach know?
Yep.
Like, Bronny, you got to work him. Oh, this is.
Yep.
I don't know if it's completely watchable or unwatchable. I don't know. James Trotter. Do you remember Jim Trotter? He was NFL media and went over to The Athletic. And, well, that's because, well, NFL media fired him because allegedly they didn't like his line of questioning.
This is the guy that during media day at the Super Bowl kept asking Roger Goodell about, was it diversity?
Diversity, minority hiring practices. So he asked the question first year, and then the second year, you could tell Goodell was not at all happy that one of his own reporters
That's the problem, right? Yeah. Like, you're in the NFL. You're being employed by the NFL, and you're going to question the NFL about their practices. The guy, you're going to, Goodell, the face of the shield is the guy that you're going to challenge and chest up when he's the guy that's also signing your check.
Right. Know where, you know who you're working for. Well, he filed a racial discrimination lawsuit against the NFL. How do you think this went? Well, we have a resolution. The two sides agreeing to a settlement. Trotter says he's going to do good with some of the money. Quote, "I will be creating a scholarship foundation for journalism for students at HBCUs, and the NFL has agreed to make a donation to support it." The lawsuit had also claimed, if you remember this, that Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and Buffalo Bills owner Terry Pegula made racial comments at the former San Diego Union-Tribune reporter, and that reporter had been instructed not to share the report.
Now, that reporter from the San Diego Union-Tribune was not Trotter, a different reporter.
A different reporter.
But his suit included these claims from Pegula and from Jerry Jones.
You can go look at it online, what was allegedly said, and I know sometimes you half listen, okay? So I don't want to repeat what was said because, oh my gosh, did you hear what Dandrew and Batagli said? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I also like him saying that he's going to do good with some of the money. Some of the money will go to this scholarship foundation. I don't know that I necessarily need to do much more writing for The Athletic. Maybe you could find me at the pool. What do you think?
Silly me, Danger. Like, you had the correct take. I did not. I really thought the Trotter saw racism. I'm going to call this out. And I'm going to shine a light. But you know what? And it's hard because I've never been in this position. Do you want to do the right thing and affect change? Or do you want to just kind of take care of your family? And by the way, we're going to help you affect change by setting up these scholarships.
Yeah, this is the win-win. This makes it go away, right? And this wasn't such – this was a reporter from the NFL Network. This wasn't like a high-profile national reporter. So the NFL kind of took their sweet time with this and probably behind the scenes worked feverishly to work with an HBCU and try to figure out how they can create this scholarship and – you know, use some of this money, donate some of this money as one of the conditions of a settlement, which will eventually mean. Now, the one that hasn't been settled.
I'm just looking this up. Is John Gruden.
Gruden has not settled yet. And, you know, Gruden, not coaching, hasn't settled. He's got himself a YouTube channel that I think he's been feeding content to here during the season and just kind of sharing his thoughts on different matchups each and every week. But that guy, I don't know that he's going to settle. That one, he might push. But again, they will drag it out and drag it out and drag it out. It's the NFL way. They're kind of in control of everything. the idea that they settled with their former employee here.
Well, the latest on this, and this was July 1st, which, yes, is Bobby Bonilla Day. We were not on the air back then, but Gruden wanted this actually heard in a courtroom, and he lost that. So this is headed to private arbitration.
Which the NFL dominates, right? Like, that's their thing.
Right, and even if it sounds bad for the NFL, hey, you know what? So if you've ever been involved in a lawsuit, what is the first thing the judge tells you to do?
Put on your glasses. First you put on your glasses, then you go up the stairs, and then you go into the courtroom, and then... I'm going to sue John Gruden and his brother Jay. They were very mean to me. I was the water boy for the Washington Redskins at the time, and they were very mean. They were disrespectful, and one of them pulled up my underpants over my head. I fell over on my face, fell into somebody's shoes. I fell into Robert Griffin's shoes. And Robert Griffin was there, and he was not very nice to me either. I'm going to sue Robert Griffin for punitive damages. And Daniel Snyder, all of them, they were very mean to me. Jim Trotta, I'm going to sue Jim Trotta.
Quite often, the judge will tell both sides to go out in the hallway and try to work this out one last time. The judges don't want to hear this. Work this out amongst yourselves.
Correct. Quick break. Come back. We'll tell you about tomorrow afternoon here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester. Straight up with no chaser. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
All right, I want to try and make this quick so Gino can enjoy his Mets, who are now in the second inning with the bases loaded, second straight inning with the bases loaded. Still no score from Citi Field as they look to dispatch of the Philadelphia Phillies here at the divisional series.
Yeah, so they're having the conference on the mound here. Ranger Suarez is already up to 51 pitches. Alex Baum, he had to play at first. I don't know why he threw it over there. So bases loaded, two men out, no score in this. What do we think of the Tigers here at Danger?
Give me an update.
We got... this game, it was at last look 3-0. It is final now. 3-0. They beat the Guardians today.
Okay.
Final.
So the Tigers take a 2-1 lead in that series. The Guardians have their backs up against the wall for the continuation of that series. Man, this is fantastic. Love me some divisional round baseball when it's this competitive, when it's this compelling, when you know, every game has been tight. It's been high drama. And I think it continues here with your Mets. We will continue to kind of keep tabs on that here through the course of tonight. And, of course, be back tomorrow to talk more about it here on The Fan, Rochester. Dan Fates will give us his report from tomorrow's Bills practice. He'll be stopping by at 325. Check out Dan Fates at 13 Wham Sports and also BuffaloPlus.com. And also more Bills talk as we prepare for Monday night against the Jets. Our buddy Alex Brasky, Bills Digest and Batavia Daily News. He stops by tomorrow afternoon at 4:25. Now, if you missed Jim Riley, the Barreled Up podcast, Ball Cap Sports, if you missed PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network, we've got both of those conversations available for you wherever you get your podcasts. Gene just threw his headphones down in disgust because Suarez got out of another bases-loaded jam, second inning in a row. The Mets strand three. JR Sport Brief next on The Fan, Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.